I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Tim Haig joins me now. He and Tim Jr. were contestants on the first season of The Amazing Race Canada. They won, and not only is that experience recounted in his recent book, Perseverance, The 7 Skills You Need to Survive, Thrive, and Accomplish More Than You Ever Imagined, but his remarkable life. He was an unwanted mixed-race baby in 1960s Texas, and he ends up moving to Canada, where he has a great career as a nurse. Soon he's diagnosed with Parkinson's and the challenges that are foisted on his family life, his career, and on a reality competition program are all in this book and instructive. The philosophy at the heart of this book are these 7 elements so that one could live their best life. The book is published by Viking. Visit timsr.ca. That's timsr.ca. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Tim Haig. Mr. Haig, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for having me
on the show.
Well, thanks for joining us. So the book is called Perseverance, and we all know that having that is what we should have, and you know, it's like eating your vegetables or exercising regularly. But we lose sight of that, and we like being comfortable or we settle. And so what do you tell people that may not think it's necessary to persevere that much in life?
Well, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? You know, for me, having been given Parkinson's, I would have been more than happy not to have Parkinson's. You know, nobody asked me for my choice in this matter, and I'd have been more than happy to pass it by. But now that I have it, the question is, what do I want my life to look like with it? Mm-hmm. And so I have a choice. When you talk about exercise has been shown to be a huge help for people with Parkinson's. It mitigates our symptoms a lot. That means it helps our symptoms a lot. So I can choose to sit at home and get worse, or I can choose to exercise, and I'm still going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the disease won't go away with exercise, but I won't get worse as quickly, or hopefully not as bad a shape as I would be if I just sat on the couch and did nothing. So, you know, I get it. It's hard. It's very difficult to get up and get going. My daughter and I got out and did 5 miles this morning. Mm-hmm. We were working on a half marathon, and I would rather have been at home. It was minus 16 and snow in Winnipeg this morning.
Ouch.
But I want to live well.
Yeah.
I want to do this the best I can.
Now, where's medical science? I mean, in the course of, say, your life or your children's life, could there be a cure for this?
Well, we certainly hope so, right? I mean, a lot of people live for a cure. I don't. We have spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and we will spend a lot more money and a lot more time, and I will encourage that to try mm-hmm. to find a cure for this disease. But the unfortunate reality is that we don't cure much. And so I will take the tact that I anticipate going to my grave with Parkinson's. But the day that we have a cure, if it does come in my lifetime, I'm going to be in the best shape possible to make every bit of use of that cure as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So you're a nurse by training. Did that prepare you, say, for Parkinson's?
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it did. I've seen a lot of people with a lot of various diseases that do what we tend to do, right? Which I did. You get down, you get depressed, we stop taking care of ourselves. And then there are those people who just stop. They give up, and life just, it's horrible. It's a terrible death. But then you see others who take the high road. They say, I'm okay. This is who I am now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the best of this, and by golly, I'm going to do this well. And I've seen all of those patients, I've seen both sides of it, and the ones that are the latter live so much better, and I would even dare say, Joe, they die so much better.
Mm.
Because the reality is we're all going to die, something's eventually going to take us,
yeah.
And we can have an impact on what that looks like.
The other thing that I'm getting out of the book, I mean, it's such a compelling story. I mean, you were born in Iowa or in Kansas?
I was born in Texas.
Oh,
and
I see.
I grew up in Kansas, and my birth mom was from Iowa.
Was from Iowa, okay. So you grew up in Kansas, and you were fortunate in that you got adopted, because I guess the chances of that, because you were your mom's white and your dad was black.
That's right.
Your birth mother really pushed for you to get adopted and not left in the institution, right?
That's right.
Yeah. The thing that I'm learning to take to heart as I'm reading the book is that we do have to persevere, but in your case there's also a lot of luck that's in play as well, good and bad. Does perseverance yield luck at all?
I think so. I like a quote that I use often from an old boss of mine. He would say to me, you know what, Tim? 80% of success is just showing up.
Mm.
You show up every day and you persevere. And the people that I find that are the luckiest in life are the people who stay engaged. They stay in their race. They stay focused. They stay at it. They're not perfect. I mean, we all have days where we stumble, you know.
Sure.
There are days that I should get out and do my thing, and I'm sitting on the couch. But overall, they stay focused, and they persevere. And it's those people who, you know, I like to use the analogy of the musician. That is an overnight success until you really look at their life, and they've been toiling away at their craft for the last 20 years.
Mm.
But all of a sudden, they're an overnight success, right?
Yeah. You studied the Bible in Kansas, and the role of faith in your life, I think, is fascinating. What part does that play, faith, in terms of teaching you perseverance? I guess it does play a big part, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It does. Scripture talks a lot about perseverance and gives a lot of direction in persevering. And it helps set the tone of my life and some foundational pieces for just staying true to what's happened. You know, I can't... People often ask me, you know, you ever get ticked with God? Does it make you mad that God's done allowed Parkinson's to come into your life?
Yeah.
And it has from time to time, sure. But I also have to balance that reality, that if I'm going to blame God, a powerful being out there, with Parkinson's, what do I say about being adopted? When nobody was lining up to take biracial babies in 1964, a white couple from Kansas came along and adopted me. They not only adopted me, but they adopted five more just like me, and that was in addition to the three kids that they already had of their own. They put a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food in our belly, gave me an education, let me become a nurse, gave me the opportunity to ultimately meet my wife, have four wonderful kids, have a wonderful daughter-in-law, a fantastic grandchild, a second grandchild on the way, have economic opportunities that, 95% of the planet will never see.
Mm.
So if I'm going to be ticked with God for Parkinson's, who am I going to thank for all the rest?
Yeah, that's a thing that I found profound in the book. It's what you write, in that we don't, I guess, thank God, or I mean, we're quick to blame God, but we never really consider all the good things that we get out of.
Yeah, because, you know, if anything bad happens, it's somebody else's fault. But
oh,
if
sure.
anything good
yeah.
happens, well, that's all me.
That's
right?
All us, yeah.
That's me.
the a lot of the book too is the experience of being on the Amazing Race, which is just remarkable, because you got a chance to see this country like very few people have. You didn't think about signing up. It was your wife Cheryl, and so I was wondering, as I was reading it, why she wasn't on the team.
You know what? She made the decision that Well, we looked at the rules and whatnot, and the fact was we had to be away from home for 5 weeks with no contact back home. We had 15-year-old twins at home at the time. Our 18-year-old daughter was off traveling Southeast Asia by herself, and we just didn't feel like we could both be gone. And she made the decision that Tim Jr. and I should run it. And we literally got into an argument over that. Literally got into an argument over this reality television show that we were going to apply for, that neither of one of us was going to get on, right? Because who gets on these things? It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Why are we arguing about this? But she was intent that they would love my Parkinson's, they would find that backstory interesting, and that I needed to apply.
So, and you had to contend with Parkinson's throughout. I mean, that was obviously a challenge. As you were doing all the things that one does for a show like this, what did you learn about yourself from the experience of being on the show?
I could do more than I thought I could. That was the biggest thing, and which still drives me today, and which what I share with people in our wellness center here in Winnipeg, U-Turn Parkinson's. We named it after the race, believe it or not, U-Turn. That we can generally do more than we think we can if we're just willing to try, get out and go. And that's why this year I was given a new medication this year that has allowed me to consider running again. I had lost the ability to run because I got really bad cramps and whatnot with my Parkinson's. The doc put me on a new med, took all the cramps away. So here I'm out doing 5 miles this morning. And the race taught me that fact, that if you just try, get off the couch and see what you can do. See what you can do. You probably amaze yourself that you can go further than what you thought you could.
Yeah. I guess that's where medical science is, though a cure may be the goal, it has done well in terms of finding, say, medicines that can help mitigate the symptoms. Better today than, say, 20 years ago, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We're doing well in some regards, but the thing that we know that works as well as any medication is exercise. And that's why we started U-Turn Parkinson's, because we wanted to make sure that our community here had the opportunity to get involved in things that would get them active. Because science has proven, not guessed, not maybe, has proven that exercise will decrease our symptoms. And so that was a big part of wanting to write the book, to be an encouragement to the Parkinson's community. But now, going forward, we invest our time in U-Turn, so that we can hopefully slow the disease and ultimately eliminate it from life.
I brought up faith a moment ago, and I just want to go back to that for a sec. You surely might have learned something about being an effective speaker from that. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Dad was a preacher. I grew up under a father who was a preacher and an uncle who was a preacher. And my speaking background has come out of the church, absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've seen video of you talk, and it's just so compelling to watch you. Because
thank you.
People find church boring, you know, or a chore, say once a week, the good speakers at a service know how to work that audience and work the stage, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I certainly love speaking. It's something that I've always felt that I was good at. I've had positive encouragement in that regard, and I love the spoken word. I love being able to communicate through pictures and stories and helping people understand something maybe a little differently than they did before. And it just amazes me of what a speaker on a stage can do with a crowd of 1,000 people. And the relationship that you can have between yourself and this crowd, it is one of the funnest things I've ever had the opportunity to do in my life. And I consider myself extremely fortunate to be able to do what I love doing, because it's just a lot of fun.
So the book has these seven skills that one needs so that they can have a better life, live their best life. I've touched on some of them already. I'm not going to go through all of them because I think people should pick up the book and get it from there themselves. The one that I found particularly interesting is finding community where one belongs. I think there's such a disconnect between people in society today that's something that's a challenge that I think people need to face and need to address.
I agree. For a couple of reasons. One, I'll go back to faith. My faith has always taught me that community is important, that we should gather together with like-minded people who see life the way that we do and find encouragement in it. But in Parkinson specifically, we tend to want to hide because we feel on display. If we feel like everybody feels every twitch and wiggle and tremor that we feel they see, right? Mm-hmm. It just constantly feel like you're on display. So people literally will stay at home. They'll never go out. They will hide. And so in establishing U-turn Parkinson's, this gives us a chance to allow people to come out of their house, go to a place with a bunch of people who look just like them, who are shaking and trembling, or who look and act like they do, and all of a sudden they can look around the room and go, well, hey, I don't look as bad as that guy. Mm. If he can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And it gives them a safe place to get out. And I think that's relevant to all of us, regardless of where we're at in life. We need a community of people who understand us, who get us, who look like us, who act like us, and who will encourage us and challenge us in life.
Well, what is it like, Tim, to consider that whether you're speaking to a crowd or writing a book like this, that you're not only changing a lot of people's minds, but you're probably inspiring them at the same time.
Well, see, that helps me a lot, personally, because not being able to nurse anymore, you know, I did nurse for 21 years, and I loved nursing, loved it. I loved doing bedside nursing. And so this is, in an odd little way, my nursing career.
Mm.
It allows me to give back and help and hopefully heal people in various aspects of their life. And I talk to a lot of folks after a lot of speaking engagements who come up and tell me thank you, that what I've written and had to say has helped them in their life somehow. And that, for me, fills a very important place in my life.
Yeah. Another thing that I found profound in the book is because the word perseverance may mean a lot of things to a lot of people, there is a difference, though, between perseverance and, say, striving, which striving is not necessarily a good thing, right?
No. Striving, you look up that word striving, you'll find that it means to contend, to quarrel, to fight. It comes from the Old English. It has a little bit of the Old French attached to it for the word strife.
Mm.
And it's more that, I like to say, that freaked out, stressed out way of thinking that says, you know what, by God, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this thing happen. Whereas persevering is a much more focused, even has a piece in it that needs to stop, to relax, to be still, to just settle, and someday say, this is enough. This is what I need for today, is just quiet. Whereas striving is that crazy mindset that just has to go, that hair on fire kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Whereas perseverance has a lot more broader context to it that involves very much a time of just quiet and peacefulness.
Yeah. And that's so much needed in our society today, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We we're told often that we're not good enough, and that if you'll just run a little faster and a little harder, that you might be good enough.
Yeah.
And that's just bunk.
I can't tell you, Tim, how much I've enjoyed reading this book and getting what I need out of it, and I'm sure that's how a lot of people are reading it. But also, I appreciate your time today. Thank you for your time and for this book. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and I hope that the book is helpful to folks, you know, in lots of different circumstances, lots of different places. So if they're interested in where to get the book, they can find it at timsenior.ca. That's my personal website. And then it is available, we like to say, where all good books are sold.
Indeed. And the website is timsr.ca, is that right?
That's correct.
Right. Thanks, Tim.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
The book is called Perseverance, The 7 Skills You Need to Survive, Thrive, and Accomplish More Than You Ever Imagined. It's published by Viking. Visit timsenior.ca. That's TIMSR.ca. Tim Haig joined me on the line from Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.